Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The United Nations Security Council is scheduled to meet at this hour for urgent closed-door consultations on Libya's protest against the U.S. shootdown of two MiG fighters over the Mediterranean. However, no public meeting has been called, and any resolution condemning the American action would face a certain U.S. veto. Last night, West European diplomats were summoned to Libya's foreign ministry to hear official condemnation of the U.S. action, which Libya insists was premeditated aggression against unarmed reconnaissance planes. The sentiment was echoed in the streets of Tripoli. In Tripoli, CBS News producer Peter Schweitzer found the Gaddafi regime not quite sure how to manage its propaganda effort.
Last night, here in Tripoli, journalists were urgently summoned to Colonel Gaddafi's barracks to hear from the leader. But instead, reporters were stopped outside the gate and treated to an organized demonstration of about 200 Libyan citizens, all men. They shouted, "We shall fight," and they chanted, "Down, down with USA." And they said, "America is guilty." But Muammar Gaddafi was not to be seen. But he issued a statement saying Libya would meet challenge with challenge. "We, as well as the fish," he declared, "are awaiting the American aggressors." This morning, the city is calm, though news reports say the Libyan military has gone on a higher state of alert. Libyan news reports this morning say the U.S. naval buildup and the air battle yesterday are only smokescreens. The Americans, they say, are preparing a land invasion to kill Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. Peter Schweitzer, CBS News, Tripoli.
This is Tom Fenton in London. Most major European governments are cautious in their comments and withhold judgment, but several countries, including Italy, express regret and concern. Here in Britain, Prime Minister Thatcher's government accepts the American explanation. Her government announced it has independent confirmation that the Libyans are preparing to produce chemical weapons. Israel also says it has evidence that Libya is capable of making chemical weapons and has vowed to take action. Labour Party leader Shimon Peres warmly applauded the shooting down of the Libyan warplanes.
I congratulate the American Navy. They had the full right to defend themselves.
Arab nations are universal in their condemnation of the American action. PLO leader Yasser Arafat fears it may disrupt moves toward peace in the Middle East.
No doubt this will reflect negatively in all peace processes in the Middle East area.
The Soviet media call the incident American aggression. The Soviets confirm, however, that Libya has the capacity to produce chemical weapons, but say it could not produce enough poison gas to wage war. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
After being debriefed in Naples, the pilots of the Navy F-14 Tomcats, which shot down the Libyan MiGs, arrived this morning at Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington. CBS News Pentagon correspondent David Martin has learned they've brought with them video evidence that the Libyan planes posed a threat to the Americans.
Officials here have not yet seen the tape, but they have been told it shows that at least one of the Libyan jets was armed with missiles, which would give the lie to Libyan claims that their planes were merely on an unarmed reconnaissance mission. Defense publications show that the MiG-23 can be armed with an Apex air-to-air missile with a range of 35 kilometers. Since yesterday's encounter took place at a range of 14 miles, that means the Libyan jets had already closed to within firing range when they were shot down. The pilots themselves will be debriefed extensively by Pentagon officials. Whether or not reporters will get a chance to talk to them is still undecided, since there is concern that publicly identifying them would expose them to the threat of retaliation by terrorists. David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
On the eve of a United Nations chemical warfare conference in Paris, at which the United States plans to press its case against an alleged Libyan poison gas factory, the West German government has decided not to take action against a company Washington says helped to build the Libyan plant. Jesse Schulman reports.
Why did investigators from West Germany's finance ministry turn up no evidence that Imhausen Chemicals is involved in building the Libyan factory, as U.S. officials insist it is? One possibility, the intelligence agencies got it wrong. Imhausen isn't the only West German company under investigation, though officials here under law can't say yet which companies or how many are being looked at. Another possibility is that Imhausen kept all its business with Libya outside West Germany, and so beyond the reach of this country's investigators. A report today says Imhausen used a Hong Kong trading firm to buy materials in Asia and ship them to Libya, all outside West German jurisdiction, and all unlikely to surface in an investigation that lasted well under a week. Jesse Schulman for CBS News, Bonn.
Japan's failing Emperor Hirohito has received two more emergency transfusions, and as Bruce Dunning reports, the 87-year-old monarch may be weaker than ever.
Doctors gave the emperor nearly 2 pints of blood after his blood pressure plunged to dangerously low levels. In the past, transfusions had brought the blood pressure back to safer levels. This time, the transfusions did not work so well, and his blood pressure rose only slightly. Doctors now say that the persistent internal bleeding he has suffered for the past 3 months is taking its toll, and his system is beginning to fail. Still, spokesman at the Imperial Palace said the emperor is not in any immediate danger, and a short time ago, his chief physician went home for the night. Since September, the emperor has received more than 8 gallons of transfused blood. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
Uganda's former dictator Idi Amin is to be expelled from Zaire, where he arrived 2 days ago with a fake passport. On New Year's Eve, Amin reportedly slipped out of exile in Saudi Arabia. It's 7 past 7. This promises to be a busy year at the Kennedy Space Center. NASA has scheduled 3 crucial science missions, along with 2 military flights, and the retrieval of a science satellite dropped off in orbit in 1984. The first U.S. space shuttle flight of 1989 has been retargeted for February 23rd. Ted Graham reports from CBS radio affiliate WMEL.
The launch date of the shuttle Discovery has been delayed by 5 days. NASA's George Diller says the extra time will be much appreciated by technicians at the Kennedy Space Center.
It's going to keep the flow for the upcoming flights more organized if we do it this way. So what we've tried to do is simply reorder the schedule to accomplish some work on Discovery without upsetting the work that we have planned for the other orbiters.
NASA officials say the change in scheduling in no way represents a major problem with Discovery.
Preparing Discovery has gone rather well overall.
It's just that a heavy launch schedule has engineers bogged down, and a little extra time will help a great deal. Ted Graham for CBS News, Melbourne, Florida.
Much of the Northeast and Midwest woke up to bone-chilling cold temperatures this morning. With the wind chill index, it was 50 below zero in Limestone, Maine. In the Pacific Northwest, the story is plenty of rain and snow. A tornado touched down briefly yesterday in Phoenix, causing only minor damage. 3 coal miners were killed yesterday in a cave-in near Middlesboro, Kentucky. A fourth man escaped from the half-mile deep shaft. 4 children were among 5 people killed early today in a house fire in Rome, Georgia. It's not yet known what caused the blaze that left one survivor, the mother of the children. President and Mrs. Reagan helped raise $1 million last night at a Los Angeles benefit for the Nancy Reagan Center for Teenage Drug Abusers. Comedian Don Rickles was on hand to roast the outgoing president.
I say from my heart, Mr. President, really, it's time you walked away.
Mr. Reagan also joked about his impending California retirement, saying, "Every time I come home, I say to myself, why did I ever leave? I don't want to say I'm anxious, but in 15 days, 15 hours, and 15 seconds, I will be on my way." He was also among the many speakers singing the praises of his First Lady.
Nancy, I knew for the first moment that I laid eyes on you that you were the greatest, and now the world knows that too.
If you need me, I will be near.
The evening also featured a Nancy Reagan duet with Mary Martin.
Willow sad, valley long, mountain high.
The menu, by the way, featured caviar, truffles, and lobster. The dollar is stronger overseas. London gold prices are down $1.50 at $408 an ounce. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead 4.64. Time on the roundup, 10 past 7.